Now listen, kids, we love Santa. We have to say it. I have to say it. We love Santa. Everybody loves Santa. But remember, December 25th, baby Jesus' birthday. We must keep that in mind. December 25th, baby Jesus. Just thought I'd get that in. We love Santa, but let's not be silly.
No, it's nice. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Merry Christmas!
It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We share a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
We're doing great here on Segways, because that kind of leads to the next question I had for you, because you recount in the book how when that whole memo came out and everything, J. Allen Hynek was pretty upset and thought that he had been used by the Blue Book organization. I guess just let's talk a little bit about your relationship with Hynek. You have a great story in the book about your first meeting with him, and it's just quite a story. And I just to piggyback onto that question, you've said, you know, that he's an apologist, ufologist, or he was. Did you ever sort of have that conversation with him and try and, you know, get him to change his ways?
Well, we had a number of conversations. We were friendly, you know, and as I said to somebody, look, you can't blame a good washing machine for being a poor dryer. Alan was not a boat rocker, guaranteed. It goes with his Czech blood. If you talk to people, and I once saw an article about this, Czechoslovakia has been overrun so many times by so many other countries that the idea is you don't make waves.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan was not a wave maker. So we had conversations. I tried to get him to look at interstellar travel technology unsuccessfully. I gave him references to a whole bibliography and stuff like that. Also, we had a conversation in his office in which he said, Stan, the problem is that most scientists don't believe in UFOs. And I said, Alan, that may be your experience with astronomers, but I deal with physicists, with engineers, with chemists, with all kinds of other people. I've spoken to many of them. I take a very strong stand, and they're very receptive. So he was under the impression, I mean, he didn't say anything when Dr. Abel, a professor at UCLA, introduced him with four or five negative remarks about UFOs. Now, nobody who introduced me with negative remarks would have been allowed to get away with it. Frankly, I'd have corrected him right up front. You can't let people get by because then it's assumed that they were telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so Alan was a good man, a decent man. And I knew we were in trouble about his leadership, though, when at a meeting in Ida Bell Epperson's house in Los Angeles, the NICAP subcommittee out there, which had been very active, this is as he was retiring from the university, and he said he's going to apply for federal funds, research funds, for the new center he was talking about setting up. And I said, how much money, Alan? And I forget whether, I think it was $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ask for $250,000 and you settle for $100,000.
Yeah.
But $25,000 means you don't put much value on it. You know, that's how the other guy's going to judge. It can't be very important if that's all he wants. What's he going to get done? So, and I do have to add that he was the same age as my father, literally born in 1910, both of them. And my dad outlived him. I lived to be 89. Alan was only 76 when he died, unfortunately. Came in with the comet and went out with the comet, interestingly enough. Not Hale-Bopp, incidentally. But the big comet, you know.
There you go, yeah.